My daughter's going to Walmart. I'll go with her. I'll get stuff there, too. But right. As for going to myself, I mean, I didn't have to bother nobody because I just get my little card and going up to go walk myself up to the Vidoc, up the Vidoc and down.
Sometimes Jesusa Ramona needs help getting to the grocery store from her apartment at Kate Ross. She can visit neighbors, do laundry, grab a snack, but she can't grab groceries without the help of her family and friends because she doesn't drive.
GPS coordinates 31, 30.
Alex Henderson is standing degrees, at the corner of 11th and Cleveland latitude, Street, 42, reading GPS coordinates to his research partners. North. They're senior political science majors from Baylor University, and they're documenting places that sell food near the Kate Ross apartments on 11th. They log coordinates for every restaurant, convenience store, gas station, or grocery store that sells food. The students are in an African-American politics class working with the Texas Hunger Initiative, a nonprofit based at Baylor's School of Social Work. They're gathering data about the neighborhoods most affected by the grocery stores that closed this summer. Dr. Andy Hoag is their professor. He's heading up the project.
And we're going street by street, block by block, to examine what food sources there are and to create a taxonomy, if you will, or to create some sort of system for identifying what types of food sources.
Hoag says information gathering, like the project that he's working on, is important to deciding what sort of problems, if any, need solutions in light of the grocery store closures.
And so what we began to do was to say, rather than jump to solutions, let's make sure that we understand the magnitude of the problem. Figure out exactly what the impact is and what are the barriers, what are the impediments to people who inhabit this neighborhood from getting access to fresh and healthy food.
Deanna Hernandez runs a convenience store at the corner of 11th and Cleveland. The back wall is a set of coolers, all frosted over and humming. A few aisles fill the store, stocked with canned goods, bags of noodles, and a few spices. She doesn't keep much produce on her shelves.
We were losing a lot of products simply because in this neighborhood, a lot of the people are on food stamps. And they choose to use their food stamps to buy fruits and vegetables, and we don't accept food stamps.
Hernandez says that the store hasn't accepted food stamps since the 80s.
People would send their children with paper coupons to buy a candy, 10-cent candy, and we'd have to give them change in cash money. We had more food stamps coming in than we had the amount of merchandise going out.
Besides a half a dozen cabbages in the glass cooler at the front of the store and a box of onions and potatoes in the back, there's not much produce to speak of. And that's the case with most stores around here. With the neighborhood's two HEBs closing this August, that raises questions about the area being a food desert. The USDA calls food deserts low-access communities, which means 33% of the population has to travel more than a mile to access fresh, whole food. And that's what Professor Hoag's class is trying to find out.
One of the things that the research has shown us about food deserts is that these are disproportionately located in neighborhoods and parts of town that are populated primarily by minorities. So there is a very real connection to some of the things that we're learning in the classroom related to economic disparities along racial lines, related to opportunity along racial lines. And there's a very close connection between things like access to food and issues of hunger.
The class hopes to complete their research by the end of October. They'll be making a map to illustrate just what food accessibility looks like in the region. For KWBU News, I'm Jordan Corona.